I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark in the New Testament, and I'd like to begin reading this morning out of Mark 4, verse number 35. Here's the subject that's on my heart today. Certainty in uncertain times. Certainty in uncertain times. Verse 35 of chapter 4 reads, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them." And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, I like the focus there. "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And if you have a red letter edition of the word, those three words are in red. They came out of the mouth of Jesus. Peace, be still. And then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, here again, red letters, Why are ye so fearful? Question mark. And how is it that ye have no faith? Question mark. Ladies and gentlemen, on this Sunday morning in January, you cannot have faith in action if you have no faith. You have to have faith before you can have faith in action. How is it that you have no faith? Question mark. And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this, that he can just walk out and speak, and the sea obeys him, and the wind obeys him? I guess out of all the trips to the Holy Land, I have to say that my favorite time and joy in studying is always at Galilee. Jesus loved Galilee. He spent a lot of his ministry, his work in the cities and villages around Galilee. And there's something about being on the Sea of Galilee. When we take the Jesus boat and we go out onto the sea, and there for a little moment, a few minutes, we cut the engine off and we have the boat just sitting there drifting, and you're able to think and use your spiritual imagination. I wonder how it would have been to be with Jesus on his many, many crossings of Galilee. How it would have been to be with him when there was a storm, or to have been with him on this particular passage in Mark chapter 4, when he was physically and emotionally exhausted. The multitude had pulled everything out of him. And almost the Bible gives us the impression, as soon as he got on the ship and they ran up the sails and they started to cross, he went down into the hull, the hold of the ship, and there he found some maybe fishing nets and made him a place and took him a pillow and went to sleep. Maybe before they had even got underway good, he was so exhausted, he dropped off to sleep. He was comfortable. He was secure. He was in the ship. They were going to the other side. And he said, I'm going to take advantage of this time. I'm going to rest my weary body. I'm going to come apart for a while. And they started that journey. He must have been in a very, very deep sleep, because all of a sudden the wind began to blow. And if you've been to Galilee, there can be sudden winds that are come out of those valleys around Galilee. It's also interesting how quickly waves can build on that beautiful Sea of Galilee. But yet, when the wind began to pick up and the sail on the ship began to rip and to pop, he didn't wake up. And when the waves began to build and the ship went a little higher and dropped a little quicker and began to roll and maybe to go into the following sea, he didn't wake up. And then there's noise on the deck, and they begin to secure items on top of the deck, and they're yelling at each other. And now the wind is louder and the seas are higher. Now it's a little scary. The wind is causing the water to break over the ship. Water's coming inside the ship, and they're yelling at each other, and they're securing the sails, and they're trying to make sure no one goes overboard. And he still didn't wake up. And now we reach this point that in verse 37, that it's not only a storm, but now it has become a great storm. And the waves beat into the ship. Not only did the waves come against the ship, not only did the waves blow across the ship, but now the water's coming in the ship. And we get to verse 37, and it says, now the boat's filling up with water. He still didn't wake up. What kind of Jesus is this? He's sleeping through the storm. He's sleeping through the wind. He's sleeping through the crisis. How can he be so relaxed? I assume he was exhausted. I assume he was at peace. But I also believe he paid attention to what he said. And he said in verse 35, let us pass over unto the other side. When Jesus says something, Jesus will perform what he declares. And I submit to you that they panicked, they got afraid, and they finally got down into the hole where he had found a place to sleep, and they began to shake him and wake him up and say, Master, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And some of you sitting here in the last few days and hours, you maybe have had the same feeling. Jesus, are you paying attention to what we're facing? Have you noticed what we're going through? Have you seen the crisis that we're in? And you want to reach up to the throne and shake the throne and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? When Mark 4 verses 35 through 41 are read, I notice the words again in verse 40. Why are ye so fearful? If I'm going to have certainty in uncertain times, I've got to know that God is in charge. Jesus asked, he said, why are you so fearful? Have you ever noticed how much and how quickly fear can take away from you? Fear can ruin your day. One phone call, and if it's got the wrong tone, they don't even have to say the words. Listen to me. You've had a phone call and hung up, and somebody said, what's the matter? And you said, I don't know. It just didn't sound right. And you start worrying. All of a sudden you reach down, shift gears, put it in high, push that old pedal down. Let's worry. Here we go. And all of a sudden, just the tone of the voice, I don't know, made me nervous. They said they wanted to talk to me. Oh, Lord. And here we go. We start worrying. And what happens is it takes our joy. Fear can take away your spiritual walk. You can be spiritual one moment and fear come ripping into your world and you don't feel so spiritual. That's the Lord. I love God. Well, I'm going to heaven. I go over to Trinity Baptist Church, carry King James Bible. Praise God. What? Oh, Lord. I didn't know. Let me get under the bed. I'm afraid. It's easy to be spiritual when we're at church. It's easy to be brave when we're all together. It's not so brave when you're by yourself. It's not so easy to be strong when you're the one that's in the trial or the crisis or the heartache. There are all kinds of fear. I thought about what Jesus said. He said, "Why are ye so fearful? Why are you so uncertain? What's causing you to fear?" You see, there are all kinds of fear. There's fear of the unknown. There's fear of spiders. Some of you don't like spiders. There's fear of mousy rats. Fear of snakes. Huh? I'm like old Winnie Bagwell, you know. You want to bring a snake to church, I'm going to hurt you and your snake. I mean, a lot of people hurt. Say amen right there, Chuck. We're going to hurt them and their snake. You know, but there's all kinds of fear. There's fears of being alone. There's fear of failure. There's fear of being hurt in a relationship. A marriage was broken. You think, I can never love someone again. I can never trust someone. A fear of trusting. A fear of being sick. A fear of dying. A fear of financial failure. A fear of growing old. That's why I stay 39. You don't have to worry about that one. Just stay 39. But there's all kinds of real, genuine fears. Fear of being afraid. Did you know that's a fear? I'm afraid that I'm going to be afraid. See, I had two amens there. And Jesus asked, he said, "Why are ye so fearful?" When you begin to realize what the Word of God said, it says, when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Jesus continues with this thought process. Notice what he said in verse 40. "Why are you so fearful? And how is it when ye have that ye have no faith?" He had just left the multitude. He had just left all this time of teaching. He had just performed miracles. Do you understand this? The disciples have watched him take a few fish and a few loaves of bread and feed thousands of people. Do you understand that? Do you understand that he's fed 5,000? He's fed 3,000? Do you realize they've seen the blinded eyes open? They've seen the crippled limbs straighten. They've seen him resurrect the dead. And the multitude's coming to him with all these needs. That's why he fell asleep so quickly. He was emotionally drained, physically exhausted. And they had just witnessed all this. And he said to them, "Why are ye so fearful? Where's your faith? You know what I can do. Do you think there's a storm going to sink our ship?" And yet we're sitting here at church, and some of you this very week have wondered, will my marriage make it? Will my family make it? Will my home survive? Will I have a job this time next week? Are we financially going to survive what's happened to this old world? Will we take the onslaught of sin and immorality that's coming against our homes and our children? You see, why are you so fearful? Jesus asked, "Why are you suffering like you are? How is it that you have no faith?" No matter what storms of life rip into you, no matter how shaky you feel, no matter how uncertain you are of tomorrow, Jesus has spoken, and his word is true. He cannot lie. If Jesus says, "Let us go to the other side," guess what we're going to do? We're going to the other side. I believe you could have put a nuclear submarine in the Sea of Galilee and shot the bottom out of that ship, and it wouldn't sink. That's how messed up I am. You know why? Because Jesus is on board. You're not going to sink Jesus. You try to sink him, he's just going to get up and walk on the water. You can't sink him. Well, you try to kill him, he'll just get up out of the grave. What are you going to do with Jesus? And you think about your problems and your circumstances. If you are in him and he is in you, what is going to come to you that Jesus cannot take care of? God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of your family. And God's going to take care of this church. He has provided for us. He's that kind of God. And we can be certain in uncertain times because of the sure foundation of God's Word. You cannot have faith in action if you have no faith. The problem is not with Jesus. The problem is that we don't pay attention to Jesus. We don't listen to what he's already said. When Jesus declares that we are going to go to the other side, his words are truth. Every man is a liar. And you need to know that God will keep his word. If Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again. Guess what? He's going to come again. He said, if I be buried in the heart of the earth, that Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, the whale. He said, then I'll get up on the third day. And guess what? He got up. So after 3 days and three nights, he proved that he was the resurrection and the truth and the life. And where we are today is, yes, that is an uncertain time for our world. It's an uncertain time as people look across the globe. As we see the wars and the rumors of war, if we see all the uncertainty, but the encouragement and hope that we have today is that we are not hoping in men or methods. We're not hoping in some man's program. We're not hoping in some possibility or hope so or think so. We're not running a sale on rabbit's foot and four-leaf clovers. We know because we are people of the book. And what we have that no one else has is the truth of the inerrancy and the infallibility of God's Word. Why did those people start praying when that airplane went down into the Hudson River? Why did they start praying? Why didn't they unhook their seatbelt and get up in the aisle and start getting down? Huh? Why'd they all of a sudden say, we're going to pray? Huh? All of a sudden, they didn't get up and say, it's party time. Let's just break out a 40 here and turn it on. No, they didn't do that. Is that what you call that, Henry? I couldn't remember. But you need to know, and I need to know, when they thought they were going down, they started to pray. Because they knew they couldn't help themselves. The situation was bigger than they were. And they began to pray. They began to call upon the Most High God. They said they reached across the aisles. All of a sudden, they're not mad at each other. All of a sudden, they're not so stuffy. All of a sudden, they're not so grumpy. I don't have time to hold your hand, care about you. I don't want to talk to you. You don't make what I make. Your car's not as nice as my car. I live in a better neighborhood than you. Where'd all that go? Hey, the plane's going down. Do you know how to pray? Can you talk to God? I don't want to die. That changes everything. And you got to remember, our ship, our plane is going down. The human race without God cannot redeem itself. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot cycle ourselves and meditate ourselves to some level of great self-savior. We cannot do that. It's not a New Age movement. It's not that we're going to recycle this old carnal flesh and make ourselves all over anew. And when I turn over a new leaf in the power of my own self, I find that the other side of the leaf is just as corrupt as the side I turned over. I don't need a seven-step program. I don't need a new leaf turning. I don't need a recycling. I need a Savior. I need the power of the life-changing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all things can pass away and all things can become new in Him. You say, what are you so excited about? I'm excited I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. My ship was going down. And I prayed, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And now I have certainty in uncertain times. I'm not hanging my hopes on any man. Not hanging my hopes on any government. Not hanging my hopes on any party. I'm in love with Jesus Christ, my kinsman redeemer, my elder brother. And that provides a sure foundation for the day and hour that we're in. You think of those people in the earthquake there in San Jose, Costa Rica. Did they worry about pride? Did they worry about what people thought when the ground has turned to jello and it's shaking and the bricks and the stones falling off buildings and the sides of mountain are sliding open and the earth is cracking open and swallowing animals as the world, as they know it, is trembling towards an end? They just dropped on the city streets and began to lift their hands and beg God for mercy and for salvation. You know what happens, church? We need to realize how desperate the hour is. We need to realize that we have no hope outside of ourselves. My intellect is not my Savior. My finances are not my Savior. My political or position in the community is not what will save me. It's not what country club I belong to that will save me. It's not the business group that I'm in that will save me. Not of my works. It's not of works lest any man should boast. But our salvation is in the grace of God. And that's what will provide certainty in uncertain times. Peace in the storms of anxiety. The enemy of peace is always worry. And we worry about an uncertain future. We even worry about people that we love. But we need that certain foundation. In the sinking tempest of doubt, you need the Rock of Ages. That you can look up to heaven and cast all your care upon Him. Because He cares for you. He promised, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You say, but I'm afraid. That's okay. Just cast that fear over on Him. And He will take the fear away.